16 is the budget bill for the department operations, the special schools, and the youth corrections education program, and also some one-time costs and some debt service. And what I've done for you is I've prepared kind of an overview of the bill. It's been a while since you had the detailed hearings on the bill. We started in February and wrapped up in March, and although we did come back about 3 weeks ago, it was just a brief refresher of the bill. So what I'd like to do is take you through this overview, and then we'll get started on the detail that's in the LFO recommended budget. All right, with the session. So you should find on the top of your package with the black book in the left-hand corner a handout that looks like this. And that first page simply summarizes for you what's in the bill. We've got operations, and as you can see, the funding for operations is in several sections because there's a general fund, other funds, and federal funds, plus some non-limited funds for operations. And then youth corrections, and then the Oregon Schools for the Deaf and Blind. And on the next page, I've made a copy of the spreadsheet that I handed out to you some months ago that basically takes you from the department's current service level through the policy packages up to the governor's budget. So this is just intended to give you a snapshot of what's in the governor's budget, and it breaks down operations by the different offices that are in the operations budget. And then down at the bottom, I've provided for you some references to the books that the department handed out early on, the white book, a rather thick one, and then their thin black book. And the B there means black book, and the W means white, and then the numbers are the page references. And then on the next page, again, that's just a snapshot of how the governor's budget for the schools for the deaf and blind and youth corrections education program was built. And again, there are references to those books if you want more detail. And on the next page, it lists some other items that are in the bill. And these are items that we won't be covering today because we still have some outstanding issues on debt service. So we're going to hold these over probably until Tuesday of next week, and then we'll wrap these up and then finish up the budget. And then on the next page,
is some reason for holding those over? Are they especially complicated? Or
Madam Chair and Senator, so we have some issues that we have to resolve on the lottery bond debt service, and so we need to have some time to do that, and the person that we need to resolve this with is in Washington, D.C., and won't be back until late tomorrow.
Ooh.
And so we don't usually meet on Friday, and then Monday's a holiday issue pretty often.
All right, okay. Also, Madam Chair, I think the last few bullet points are still being negotiated. That is what we're going to have under the $50 million technology. Still being worked out.
There are definitely some details to this.
Yes.
And then the page after that, again, that's just a chart that shows you how those budgets were built in the government's budget. And then lastly, the last page, I just wanted to point out to you what's not included in this bill, and I'm sure you all realize this by now. The state school fund appropriation is not in this bill. And the school, the school improvement fund of $100 million, which is in the governor's budget, is not in this bill. That's also in the state school fund bill. And, of course, grant and aid, which we already passed, is not in this bill. And then behind that handout, you'll see my detailed spreadsheet for working budget. And what I'd like to do, if it's all right with the committee, is start with the special schools and then go on to youth corrections education program, because there are some ODE staff here who, once we do that, can go back to the department and almost make sure we're going after kids. So if you turn to page, well, briefly, let me just point out that pages 1 and 2 cover operations. And then page 3 is for special schools. And all of these are double-sided. And then page 4 is for the youth prerequisites. So if you will turn to page 3, we'll go over the budget for the special schools. And there aren't a lot of issues in this particular area. And you can see on the front page, I've provided you with some budget history just so you can get a sense of what the budget, how the budget compares to previous biennia. So I'll start you with the development of the governor's recommended budget. And that first line is simply for the 97-99 legislatively adopted budget. And you can see there that there's $13,700,621 in general fund, $2,867,693 in other funds, $267,144 in federal funds, $121,019 in non-limited funds, and the total is $16,956,477 with 410 positions and 167.8 FTE. That next line, the emergency board actions, that is for the statewide salary increase that was granted. That brings us down to the approved budget. And then adjustments to the approved budget include some PIFT generated adjustments, and the total, as you can see there, is -$90,690 and a 0.12 FTE. Then we add some estimated the estimated cost of the 99-01 merit increases. There are some amounts added for the PERS adjustment. And then we get to the base budget. The essential packages include an adjustment in the vacancy factor, an adjustment for standard inflation, and that brings us to the current service level of $17,818,854. 410 positions and 167.68 FTE. The only adjustment in the governor's budget is to reduce the positions and the FTE for some unfunded vacant positions. And basically, these positions had been established to accommodate the need for some part-time functions. The programs have reorganized, current staff are able to absorb the duties of these positions, and so they have been eliminated. And in looking further into this area, the Legislative Fiscal Office found that there are actually some additional vacant positions that can be eliminated. So what I'm recommending is that you approve eliminating an additional 25 positions and that equals 2.96 FTE. And again, no savings are associated with these positions because they're unfunded. So that would bring you to a general fund budget for the special schools of $14,476,164. Other funds, $2,931,597. Federal funds, $290,074. Non-limited, $121,019, and then total funds, $17,818,854, 318 positions, and 163.38 FTE. This is identical, except for the positions in the FTE, to the governor's budget, and overall, it's about a 1.5% increase over the 97-99 legislatively approved. Any questions?
Sure. The additional vacant positions that you have that you've eliminated, the department okay on those? Is there a problem that they intend to fill any of those for any reason?
Madam Chair and Senator Tro, I did discuss this adjustment with the budget, and as far as I know, at least at the time we were talking about it, they were fine.
They don't need position authority beyond. Is this all the vacant positions?
Madam Chair and Senator Tro, we did allow for some vacant positions still. It doesn't get there. It doesn't fill the position. So there is some leeway still in there.
I generally like the idea of getting rid of the vacant position in there. And sometimes the vacant for a reason, and they are actually need another reason.
Any other questions for this part of the budget? Did you want to adopt the budget unit by unit, or did you want to just hear the whole thing?
Why don't we do unit by unit? Is that okay with the committee?
Mm-hmm.
Objections to that? All right. Is that a motion?
I think that we adopt the special schools section of the Department of Education.
Any objections?
And then if you turn to page 4, this is on the Youth Corrections Education Program. Again, this is for the Youth Corrections Education Program on 4 of the spreadsheet. And as with the other budget, it's provided for you some history for comparative purposes. We'll start again with the 97-99 legislatively adopted budget, which has other funds of $18,958,772, federal funds of $1,113,175, and total funds of $20,071,947, with 259 positions and 187.5 FTE. The emergency board actions include additions again for the statewide salary increase, and the general fund is for startup costs in new juvenile facilities, and as you'll see down below, that's phased out. That brings us to the legislatively approved budget, which is adjusted again for position actions and the estimated cost of the 9901 merit increases. The essential packages include a vacancy factor adjustment, the phase out of the startup cost that I mentioned, and then the standard inflation. In the governor's budget, there is an adjustment for the staffing reduction. What this package does is it eliminates 137 positions, equal to 77.7 FTE. And these positions are no longer used due to contracting out services to school districts. And as a result, there are savings associated with these positions. The budget moves $6,277,682. And based on my review of this adjustment, it appears reasonable, and it simply cleans up the budget. For positions that are no longer used for implementing this program. And you'll see down below in package 260, which I'll skip over 259 for the moment, but that's somewhat related to this first package because it adjusts the budget to reflect that this other amount has been removed and reflects that the programs are now contracted out and that there's a need to increase the professional services line item.
Madam Chair,
that contracting.
Senator Gordon?
If I may inquire about that piece, because I can't recall from the testimony that we heard, by contracting out, are we getting the same level of service?
Madam Chair and Senator Gordon, yes, that's the intent. Just that the department is not providing direct services to the program, but rather contracting out with the school district.
Okay, that's the intent, but we don't know yet. Is that what you're saying?
Madam Chair and Senator Gordley, I don't have any reason to believe that the services are not being provided.
I'm sure. Again, I don't remember this particular item discussed. Was it discussed with the departments before the committee?
We did have some discussion about it, as I recall.
Yeah, I'm sure it's been a while, but we did discuss the package.
What happens to those people currently filling the position? Are they covered in the contracting out, so now they're simply picked up by school districts and provided, or are we wholesale moving people out from jobs and bringing new people in? What's happening?
Madam Chair and Senator Cho, as I understand it, the provisions of the contracting out include that those people who were originally in these positions would be accommodated, and that they wouldn't just be let go. And Chris can.
Thank you, Madam Chairman of the committee. For the record, my name is Stan Dunn, Superintendent of Public Instruction with offices at 255 Capitol Street. That is actually not the way the process occurs, and I want to make a couple of comments. There was a very different, I think, philosophy and approach between the previous superintendent and the current superintendent on this issue. In fact, prior to my taking office, I had asked that this be held up, and the decision was made not to do that. And it is well down the track, and it was my determination not to try to reverse that in view of how far it had moved. But in fact, there were employees that I believe should have been treated differently, who were in effect cut loose and did not have guarantees of opportunities to shift to other jobs. And I am concerned about what happened there. I do want to answer the other question that as the contracting out is occurring, I have every reason to believe that the level of service will be maintained and that the department can assure that that occurs. But I would in the future like to see a very different process for this kind of transition.
Is there a saving to this department in doing it this way over the way it has previously been done?
I can have someone else from the department answer that question. I can say there was a determination and a feeling at the time this process occurred that service could better occur through administration through, for example, ESD, such as ESD in this area. But I'll ask someone else from the department to comment on the savings issue.
Good morning. My name is Chris Durham, Director of Management Services of the Department of Education. Madam Chair, Senator Crow, the actual cost is approximately the same. We did not realize the savings by doing so. We transferred all the functions that the administrative functions that we used to exercise over those programs to the contractors. So we just have two people back in the Department of Education that monitor the contracts. The cost of the contract is equivalent to our operating costs.
Did you turn them over to school districts to run? Is that what happened?
Madam Chair, Senator Cho, it's a combination of school districts and education service districts, the largest of which is Willamette Regional Program that operates the Hillcrest McLaren School.
You're sure the quality of programs will be equal or better?
Mm-hmm.
And what you have.
Madam Chair, yes, Senator Crow, that was one of the main reasons that we went to contracting out, because of the services that a school district or an ESD might have that were beyond what capacities that we have. So we believe that they would provide better services than the department could if there are additional resources that they could apply to the programs, particularly for special education.
Do we know how many individuals were not accommodated in this switch who were employed? How many employed individuals lost their jobs because of this?
Madam Chair, Senator Crow, 10 to 14, we're not certain whether all of them have attained other jobs, but there were 14 that were not hired by Willamette. Some at their own choosing because they retired or chose other jobs, but there were 14.
Did everyone have an opportunity to be hired?
no. And I can also say that the hiring, at times when people found other jobs, they were at substantially less pay.
For the question. Thank you. Sue?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to point out that these positions that are being eliminated are vacant. These are not positions that have staff in them after this election. So this is after the fact, after the contracting out has been accomplished. And again, it was my understanding that there's an attempt to accommodate staff in those positions, not to say that all of those staff were accommodated as the department pointed out.
Okay. Thank you. For the comments or questions? I think what we'll do, since we're at this stage of the proceedings, I think I'll stand the committee down for just a few moments and wait for the chair to come back. Okay? So we'll stand up for a moment.
$259 would increase the federal funds expenditure limitation for each emergency board actions that were authorized at the September 19th meeting of the emergency board, and that would add $2,165,520 in limitation. That brings you down to the governor's recommended budget. And then if you'll turn to the back of page four, you see that I've got some recommended adjustments there. One is for a technical adjustment, a technical adjustment for crews, a total of -$52,212. And then in talking with the department, and looking at their vacancy report, it appears that there are an additional 75 positions that could be eliminated because of this contract amount issue, and 63.77 FTE. And so the legislative fiscal office is recommending that you approve that reduction. And this would bring you to a budget of $20,640,067 other funds, $2,956,838 federal funds, a total of $23,596,905 total funds, 46 positions and 45.54 FTE. And this is a 13.2% increase over the 97-99 legislatively approved budget, a slight decrease from the governor's budget due to the PERS adjustment of 0.2% decrease. And then more significant decrease is shown for the positions and for the FTE because of eliminating those vacant positions. Any questions on this section?
Sure. What the additional positions that we're eliminating because of contracting out, what does that mean? And who are those folks? And what arrangements have been made for them?
Madam Chair and Senator Trow, I believe the superintendent already spoke to that. These are vacant positions again, and so what is true of the people who were in those positions is the same as what's true of the other positions we were talking about, the 137 that would be eliminated in the governor's budget. Chris, did you want to add anything to that?
Are these vacant just simply because they contracted out and made them vacant, or were they vacant before?
Yes, it could be a combination of both. Looking at the vacancy report, what I did was look at those positions that were vacant for more than 12 months and then worked with the department to determine if there were any unusual reasons for those vacancies and if we needed to keep those positions because they actually intended to hire into those positions, or if in fact they could be eliminated because of programmatic changes, they were no longer needed.
And that's generally true of all of them, we believe.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, Senator Trow, your staff is absolutely correct. The positions that were eliminated were those that were contracted out, so they served no purpose. We were holding them in the event that we were to reverse that and begin operation of the programs again, we would have had position authority. So if that does occur, we would come back seeking position authority for those teachers if that were to ever occur.
And the people in those positions, some of them have been hired by the contractor.
Madam Chair, Senator Trott, yes, most of them have. There were just 14 that were not.
Okay, so we're talking still about the same. Okay.
Do you have a question? I'll
have
a motion on this section of the budget.
On
the Youth Corrections Education
Program. Madam Chair, I move all those recommendations regarding the Youth Corrections Education Program as defined here before.
Any questions?
Madam Chair. I'm at a loss as to whether to vote for this or not. I think I probably will, but my concern is this contracting out, especially since it was done with the new superintendent, not as comfortable with it as we'd like him when you make major changes like this. And I suppose something that's started by one superintendent when you have a change, that kind of thing can happen. But I'm also concerned about people who have spent a long time teaching in these institutions, and that's not the easiest kind of teaching, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those people are not adequately cared for, and they're ending up, because of this change, back working toward less salary and less benefits than they did before. And I don't think that's really all that fair to them. So that's why I'm not cognizant over whether to vote.
Senator
Perkins?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Because of the fairness issue, I'll be voting a no. This is an issue that I received some correspondence about from some of the staff who no longer have employment. And I think, you know, this is an issue that was handled in a way that was really demoralizing for a number of people. That's something that we should be paying attention to. So I guess you could call mine a protest in terms of the process.
Any other discussion?
Question? Yes. Can the superintendent in the future, if he determines that he wants to reverse what is occurring, can you come back and reverse that position? If it isn't working at a future level.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I believe that the superintendent of the department could come back to the legislature, ask for position authority. It would be reversing a significant process and program, and after careful analysis, my commitment is to make this program work. It makes more sense to me to make it work. I want to comment somewhat strongly that I think in the future we have the ability to assure that employees in transitions are treated in a way that they end up with a pay situation that's a little different than occurs here.
Any other questions? Any other discussion? Any objection besides Senator Gordon? The Youth Corrections Education Program is up.
Now, if you'll turn to page one, we'll go over the department's operations. Just briefly, let me familiarize you with what you have before you. On pages one and two, you have my spreadsheet with all the numbers. I'm sorry, on page one, I have the staff. And then on two, I have some written information for you as far as my recommendations. And then on the back of page two, some budget notes and then some information on the percentage changes in the budget. So again, on if you look at page one at the top, this is some history for the department's operations budget. And then I'll start with the legislatively adopted budget again, under the development of the governor's recommended budget. And as you can see there, it starts with $23,523,926 general fund, $8,049,817 other funds, $19,448,527 federal fund, $4,471,781, not limited, a total of $55,494,061. 219 positions and 214.5 FTEs. The next line is a combination of many emergency board actions through April of 98, and unless any of the members have questions, I won't go into the detail about those actions. That brings us to the legislatively approved budget. And as with the other budgets, there are adjustments for position actions from the fixed system, and addition for the estimated cost of the 9901 merit increases. And that brings us to the base budget. In the essential packages, there's an adjustment to the vacancy factor, a phase-in of programs, and that has to do with the assessment system and activities that were started in 97, 99, and that will continue into 9901. A phase-out of one-time costs in the general fund section that has to do with a phase-out of the cost of some systems furniture that the department was purchasing from DAS. The standard inflation is then added. State government changes in state government service charges are added. And then there's also an adjustment for some fund shifts and revenue reductions. And I point out that the fund shift from federal funds to general funds simply backfills with general funds some assessment activities that were being funded with federal funds, and those federal funds are going away. So in order to continue those activities, there's a new process. So that brings us to the current service level. And then if you turn that page over, you see the policy packages in the governor's recommended budget. And I think what I'll do here, instead of going, I'll do both sections together. In other words, I'll talk about policy package 101, and if there's an adjustment to it down below, then I'll bring that to your attention. So the first policy package 101 would add support staff in the Oregon pre-K program, and this is to support not only the expansion during this biennium, but the anticipated expansion for next biennium, and we're going to from the intent is to go from 47% of eligible children served to 50% of eligible children served. So that would add one FTE, and that would be at a cost of $57,071 general fund. And the Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending that you approve that package. The second policy package there is for the assessment system. This is the one that includes the assessment centers that you heard about. And what I'm recommending there is that you reduce the budget by the amount of that package so that you appropriate, and that's primarily due to general fund constraints, and that you appropriate $1 million of that package into the emergency fund. And then the department would be required by a budget note to return to the emergency board to report on the status of the implementation of the assessment system, and also be required to report to the appropriate legislative interim committees on education. And when they come back to the emergency board for this funding, they should give the emergency board a list of priorities that they have for that funding. But it could include not only priorities for the assessment system, but if they determine there's a better use for the money in order to implement the Reform Act, they could present those priorities. So if you turn to page 2, on the back of page 2, actually, you see under budget note number 1 is the budget note that would direct them to do that beforehand and to provide that list of priorities.
Maybe Vern could come up and just tell us what does this mean. I know this has been an important piece to him and the department since of giving him $1 million. In essence, I think, I'd like to hear from him, will this just pretty much put this on hold for two more years?
Yeah.
Madam Chair, members of the committee. The funding at $1 million rather than the larger amount would make it not feasible to put in local assessment centers. There simply wouldn't be the ability to fund the development costs and fund the centers, the equipment, and the staffing. I do want to mention that we had proposed that the funding could move from $8 million to $6.1 million, and in every area of our budget, we are prepared to talk about any ability to cut costs additionally. I also want to mention, while I hope briefly to comment on budget notes and e-board activity perhaps next Tuesday, just very briefly, I did want to say that I believe putting the assessment effort into the e-board and interim committees for review creates a problem in terms of the timely execution of that.
Madam Chair, I just want to express strong concern about what we're doing here and also the budget note. I will be objecting to this piece. I think the superintendent on a couple of other occasions made a very strong case for why we need the assessment center now. And my point is that this is an inadequate budget to carry the department into the next century in a manner that allows it to help all students.
I apologize for tackling senators this morning, and we have to have a quorum. I apologize, sir.
Yeah. I understand. I do. I understand. To continue, our failure to sufficiently fund the assessment centers, I believe, hurts students who will need help now. And these are students who need help reaching the new standards that we put in place. It hurts the students who will need the help the most. And if we know that over 60% of students will not meet the standards, and I believe that's the percentage we've heard in the past, and the superintendent can correct me if that percentage is not correct. But if we know that large numbers of students are not going to meet the standards, we should be doing everything in our power to provide the necessary support. And I don't believe we're doing that with this budget. In fact, we're choosing, by our actions, we're choosing not to support our students who will need help the most. We already leave too many students behind. In fact, we know who those students are, we know what they need, and by not funding these assessment centers, I believe we're walking away from those students. And the superintendent on an earlier occasion said to us that not funding this package would be devastating to our reform efforts. He used the word devastating, and I heard that. So I, frankly, I'm not interested in contributing to policy decisions that have the effect of moving us toward a society of haves and have-nots. And I believe that's where we are. We need highly educated people. And when we know that we have so many students who are not there and who need help getting there, then that should be our start. We need to be producing a class of students who will be able to contribute to the best of their potential and who will be able to contribute to our Oregon community. And so I'm deeply troubled at what we're doing with this particular piece.
Representative Wilson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. With all due respect to the Senator, I would feel a lot better about this assessment program had I been able to find a superintendent of a local school district who felt that it was workable, usable, and needed. And I've not been able to find that. And I've talked to several superintendents across the state who who frankly don't believe in this assessment center idea. And furthermore, they would certainly rather see the money go into their classrooms than to build something that I think $6 million personally is just the tip of the iceberg on what this program is actually going to cost the Oregon taxpayer before it gets to full fruition.
Madam Chair, if I may respond to that, we had an opportunity to hear in these hearings to hear from superintendents, any number of superintendents who have a different perspective, but we chose not to take time to do that. And so, with all due respect, I know that there are superintendents out there who have that view, but there are also other superintendents with a different perspective. We needed to have heard from both, and we did not do that.
Madam Chair, if I might just briefly comment further, that in addition to those superintendents, we were prepared to bring forward COSA, which is the School Administrators Organization, wrote a letter in strong support of our budget, including this assessment piece as an essential part of what should be funded this session.
Only to say that if we're going to spend the kind of money that this program really indicates that we're going to have to do, I think not only the school superintendents need to hear from a full body of superintendents about it, because I think you'll find the issue is extremely divisive. But I think the Oregon taxpayer also needs to know what they're about to pay for, because I think this initial installment of $6 million is indeed the tip of the iceberg, and I do mean the tip of an iceberg. And I really honestly think there needs to be a much wider discussion in the state before we commit to this kind of a program, because this program is huge.
Stan, how many could you buy an assessment center for $1 million?
You could get part of the development cost done. What you would have is an airplane that didn't have the engine in it, so you wouldn't have anything. You have, for example, the scanner we need. The scanner alone, the large scanner that is a part of this process, costs $250,000. So with the $1 million, you simply can't get the prototype development that allows you to really do this. When you have the scanner in place, you have the design, you have the personnel development, it doesn't cost you that development cost in a repeat way, in the same way as you go on to the second, third, or fourth of the centers. We've looked at what we could do in terms of cutting costs and still allowing a reasonable ability to use these centers in a way that allowed the state high value. And that's where we came up with the $2 million in cuts that we proposed. And I'm not saying that we couldn't come. We're looking every day at can we make additional cut costs. But I've gone over very carefully with Ron Hauser from our assessment effort what we can do. And for $1 million, we can certainly enhance our current program, but we cannot design the new program.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just so I understand that the million only allows you for minimal enhancement, if I understand it, but not really to implement.
Well, for $1 million, we'll try to do more than minimal enhancement. I mean, we would attempt to use every one of those dollars wisely for the program effort we have today. But what I'm saying is we can't do the local assessment centers that do all those things they promise without having more dollars than that.
That's my winner.
What areas would be impacted the most if you did not have the 6 million to implement?
The first thing is you have students that come to the 10th grade, take the test one time, and if they fail, they failed. There isn't the opportunity for earlier testing at middle school level, new student testing, challenging the test earlier. There isn't the opportunity for remediation for students to get help early. There isn't the relief of teachers from the testing process that exists now and the workload that occurs there. There isn't the opportunity for the student to walk out of the test center and have test results that day as we could do. What we have now are test results that the tests are taken in the spring and the results are in the fall and that student's already in another class. So all of those things are dealt with in the local assessment centers.
Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair.
Representative.
One last question. How many students would you anticipate you could serve with
I don't have the exact figure, but I can give you an idea. The ultimate number of assessment centers that would be needed in the state would be about 80. We would have about 20 of those, so we could figure probably 20% of the students at this time. Although one of the things that we're working on, Representative Edwards, is as we develop these centers to try to maximize the usage and try to get beyond the number of students that potentially we want to expand it, and we want to see how much we can maximize.
Just a comment. I too have been struggling with this. I'm somewhat undecided whether I understand the rationale intellectually why this is necessary, particularly from what I've heard in my district from teachers and just the assessment part and the time to do that. And I think you could see some relief for those that would be more teaching time. You know, as always, this is one of those where you're trying to carve up so much money. But anyway, I appreciate what you said.
Can I just ask you one other question?
Sure.
About these assessments, when would the students, are they going to have to go somewhere to be tested? Are they tested at school? Do they get tested on the weekends or during the week?
They would be
transportation.
They would be tested at the school. The center would be in the school. There were in small districts. It would be in an ESD. That would be close by. Wherever possible, it will be in the school facility itself. We are designing to design so that it would be open on Saturday for the opportunity for Saturday testing, so that there would be the greatest accommodation possible.
Any other questions on this? Okay. Next, what I'd like to do is take packages 104 and 105 together because they're closely related. 104 would provide salary assessments for education program specialists, and 105 would provide salary adjustments for education program managers. And as you might recall from testimony from the department, over the past several years there's been an extremely high turnover rate in these positions, and that's primarily because these staff go to the local level to the school district to make more money. And so these packages are proposed to improve not only the retention but the recruitment of education program specialists and managers as well. And I would point out to you that the department based this request on a program evaluation of the department that had been done a couple years ago, and the report was issued in April of 97. And it was a study that was approved by the Joint Legislative Audit Committee, and it was planned and managed by the Legislative Fiscal Office, the Department of Administrative Services, and the Secretary of State's Audit Division. And it was the study itself was conducted by an independent firm out of San Francisco, Management Planning Associates. And what they concluded is that the department is hampered in securing the educational experts that it needs to carry out education reform because of the lower salaries, and it loses staff to the school districts paying the higher salaries. And you also might recall that the department in its testimony had recorded a decline in the number of candidates for advertised positions, and also a perceived decline in the overall quality of the candidate pool. What the Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending is that these salary adjustments be phased in as of January 1st of 2000. So there would be an 18-month funding of this of these two packages. What you'll see on the spreadsheet down below in the second box is that I've completely eliminated those two packages, and that's because I'm also recommending that the department perform some additional work on this request prior to receiving the funding. And so the funding would be put in the emergency board, and they would come back to the emergency board to request that funding.
Madam Chair, could we hear from the superintendent on the impact of this recommendation? Thank you.
Finish your recommendation,
sure.
And then you can.
You bet.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
If you turn to page 2 under policy packages and you look at policy package 104 and 105, you'll see that in addition to approving the 18-month funding, that I've got some amounts listed there. And for the policy package 104, the 18 months of funding is 3/4 of the amount that's in the request. But for 105, it's lower because the department actually revised its request based on additional information. It lowered its request for funding for that package. And then if you turn to the back of page 2, you'll see the budget note that related to my recommendation. And basically what this does is it would require the Department of Education to work with both the Department of Administrative Services and the Legislative Fiscal Office in implementing a cost-effective approach to phasing in the salary increases for these positions. And included in looking at what's cost-effective would be giving consideration to a recommendation in this report I mentioned earlier on implementing a two-tier level of specialists. And that's not to say that it's workable, but I believe that it at least needs to be considered. It needs to be looked at in a little more detail than what I believe the department has done to date. And then the department should also be required to work with the Department of Administrative Services Human Resource Management Division on obtaining market information and determining the appropriate classification of these positions on which to base the salary increases, and then should provide this information to the Legislative Fiscal Office prior to coming to the emergency board to request relief for the funding for the salary.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, if considered appropriate, I would defer my comments on budget notes and emergency board issue until brief comments on Tuesday. But I do want to say that I truly appreciate the work of the subcommittee chair and the co-chairs on this issue. The reduction from our original request of $1.4 million to $1.2 million, I think, is reasonable. The delay in hiring, I think, is something that is very workable. And I think you've recognized in this piece a key need of the department and have met that need in a very substantial way, and want to say thank you for what I see as really quality work there. I would like to suggest one piece of flexibility I'd like to have you consider. You have provided for 4 FTE in the specialist that we asked for, I believe, rather than 5 FTE. And I would just urge that out of the total $1.2 million, that there be a flexibility between the pay raises and the FTE to consider the funding of the 5 FTE rather than the 4.
That would have been the next package.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That on the curriculum specialist, just to clarify.
All right.
But again, I think that's a very, very important piece that you've done nice work on.
Thank you, Manager. Okay. Policy package, or policy option package 106, the superintendent mentioned briefly, this would be on the curriculum specialist, and this is intended to increase the number of curriculum staff at the department so that they can provide leadership and assistance to schools. And there are, as I understand it, there are about 90 out of the 198 school districts that about half the school districts have curriculum directors and the other half do not. What the Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending is that you fund 4 of these positions, and the reduction is primarily due to general fund constraints. I've also made an adjustment that would phase in the hiring, since it's assumed that they will not be able to hire these staff as of July 1st of 99, that there'll be a slight delay, and so I've adjusted the budget for that. So you'll see down below in that second box that I've deducted $188,097 in general fund. And again, that would provide for 4 of the curriculum specialists. And as the superintendent mentioned, you would like some flexibility among the 3 packages, and that's certainly up to the subcommittee if they want to approve another FTE for this package, let the department figure out how to fund it.
All right. Continue.
Policy package 107 would continue the database initiative project that was started this biennium, and it would allow for statewide implementation of the database project, which currently involves 15 school districts and one ESD, and packages in support of House Bill 3636 on the last biennium. And I would point out to you that the current project is on time and on budget, and in fact under budget, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. We'll have a reversion to the general fund from that budget. It's been said that this is one of the most successful technology projects conducted by the Oregon State Government. In fact, I understand that this project was awarded the Best Practices in Government Technology citation from the Association of Government Accountants. And it's monitored by the Department of Administrative Services, plus an independent quality assurance contractor. There's also a database committee that meets frequently and has representation from the governor's office, the legislative revenue office, the legislative fiscal office, the contractor, and the quality assurance contractor. So there's a great deal of oversight on this project. And the package would add an additional 3.3 million general fund and 6 FTE. What I'm recommending is that you reduce this package by $665,080, and this amount comprises two things. First of all, in asking the department for some efficiency reductions, they had offered to cut this package to reduce the services and supplies by $484,736. And as I understand it, this amount was earmarked for development of a budget model that's similar to the quality education model. And so I feel comfortable recommending this cut for two reasons. Number one, the department offered us this amount. Number two, as long as the quality education model out there before you fund an additional model, I believe that there really needs to be a decision on how the current model is going to be used. So in an effort to kind of avoid reinventing the wheel. The second reduction is for a contingency of $180,000, and LFO doesn't recommend budgeting for contingencies. If there's an emergency regarding this budget, the department can always come back to the emergency board. That's what it's there for. Additionally, I would recommend a budget note, and this is similar to what happened during this current biennium, and that is having the department report periodically on the status of the project. And so in budget note number 3, on the back of page 3, you'll see that I'm recommending that you adopt the budget note that would direct them to report to the appropriate interim legislative committees on the status of the implementation of the project. And I'm recommending that the report be done in January 2000 and again in August of 2000. And then another report to the 71st Legislative Assembly.
A couple of questions about this. I guess the department feels that they can, like, reducing this budget amount, they can actually implement this project fully, which is sort of building on what has happened to go statewide, and I assume that's okay to do that.
Madam Chair, that's concluding this. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I want to stress first, if I might, briefly, that the dollars we brought forward were at the specific request of the legislature and not our choice on cuts. And there was, in fact, a minor miscommunication between myself and the business office that is my responsibility, but I want to make clear one thing there. There is a reserve or contingency fund that we believe could be reduced and still make this process work, and that is, I think, a part of what Sue has included. I want to stress that the budget model based on the database project is very different than the quality model. One is more driven by figures that are developed in a different way and dollars that are developed on a different way. And the governor has, I think, correctly indicated that he believes the budget model the model that would come out of the database project is a critical part of what we need to do. So
while we would see the ability to reduce by several hundred thousand dollars, we would oppose the reduction by the 660 some thousand dollars and instead recommend that that be a couple hundred thousand dollar reduction. And we do believe that the model would not replicate the quality model that has existed, but in fact would allow us to take the database project information and package how it could be used in the most meaningful way.
Madam Chair, I would just respond that, again, this was a reduction that was brought forth by the department, that if they really consider it critical to continuing the in terms of House Bill 3636, if they consider it an emergency, they could always come back to the emergency board during the interim.
Madam Chair, I want to respond. I'm glad that we didn't come forward with the other dollar cuts that have been requested. I resisted those because I was afraid of this very kind of presentation. We were requested to bring forward greater dollar cuts, and I felt that if we did, the position that would be taken in the legislative body would be that these are cuts you brought forward. So you obviously think they're cuts you can live with. When a legislative body demands of us cuts, then we have to bring those forward.
I just want to reiterate 4% cuts, everybody came by
the understand that. But as we come forward with those at the request of a legislative body, it doesn't mean that we believe they are reasonable, possible, or doable. It's simply that we have to do it as a demand of the legislature.
That's correct. So we're also trying to fund K-12, which is integral to...
I believe it is appropriate for the legislature to say at any point, these are cuts brought forward by the department. I don't believe that we should acquiesce in the statement that these are cuts we believe we can live with.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to add that there is the million, if you approve it, there is the $1 million in the emergency fund for the assessment system, and if the department believes that that is not enough to develop one or two assessment centers and they believe their priority is to develop this budget model, that funding could be used for this, and that's precisely why I recommended in the budget note that the department not be limited to presenting its priorities on the assessment system alone, but other areas that it considers to be priorities.
Okay. Senator Wilson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to make one comment about the database initiative project, and that is this. I understand that project has been born because of a couple of different desires, and both desires seem noble, at least the reasons that I've heard. And I'm happy also that it has gotten critical acclaim for a project, but there are lots of movies that have received critical acclaim but have been commercial failures because no one used them, so to speak. No one really needed them. No one needed the product. So the only thing that I would say is that if this is a tool to bring about further accountability, which in part it is, that's great. But I would just hope that as this project grows and develops, that we would make sure that it is actually being used. But like all projects, it has a cost, and generally they wind up having a larger cost than we expect it will, and the taxpayer expects it will. But yet the taxpayer does want accountability, too, and we can all appreciate that. So the only thing I would say is this: as this program grows and matures, I would hope that we would really keep our eye on that project to make sure that the consumer is actually using this on an ongoing basis, and that it actually be something not only of critical acclaim, but something that is actually used and appreciated by the consumer.
Thank you. Well, I think maybe to differ a little bit, I do think this has already provided us valuable information, and it will provide additional value as we expand it statewide. I am troubled by setting up the model because I think that fits exactly what you're suggesting needs to be done, and that is, what are you going to do with this data? Part of it is you can get it right now on the Internet. It's pretty fascinating, but you need to do something with it. And I think the budget model is critical to take that to the next step. I was concerned, I don't know about that side, but whether or not, I guess, I want, if you could respond, send me a full obligation to do the entire database with what's here on the table. That's my comment.
Madam Chair, Representative Edwards, I believe with what's on the table and what LFO has proposed that you can do the database statewide. I think to do the model, it does take an additional $500,000. And I think to meet Representative Wilson's concern and your concern for highest value, we should have that model there.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we're going to get into packages that are federally funded. Package 116 would provide a civil rights education program specialist, and this is a position that would provide assistance to schools in areas of civil rights and equal educational opportunity and also some safety issues. And the department reports that it's received numerous complaints in these areas, and the complaints come from students, from parents, and from other sources, and many districts are not capable of handling these issues because of a lack of knowledge. And currently, it's my understanding that staff at the department try to handle these issues, but they're parceled out to various staff instead of being put in the responsibility of one position. And I would just point out to you that since 1991, the number of issues, Oregon issues that have been filed with the federal U.S. Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights, Seattle has increased substantially. In 1991, there were 3 dockets open, 7 separate issues, and in 1999, as of about a month ago, already 27 dockets have been opened with 47 separate issues. So there's definitely been growth in this area. And not all administrators and personnel have the expertise or the time to deal with these issues. And funding this position has the potential of saving school districts a lot of dollars in terms of legal fees and also staff time to address the issues. What I recommend is that you approve the position authority, but in talking with the department, it appears that they already have sufficient expenditure limitations to cover this, because they'll use that expenditure limitation that was previously used for consultants time in this area.
So, Madam Chair?
Representative Leonard?
That's how you showed that the $61,188 deleted.
Madam Chair? The only other thing I would add is that during the interim, the education committee we'll take a look at this whole issue of the kinds of complaints that are being generated out there. They are increasing. We need to understand, given the changes in demography and increasing numbers of Latino students coming into our educational system, we need to understand what some of these complaints are about, how they're being resolved or not resolved, and there may or may not be an opportunity for legislative intervention, but we sure need to understand what the issues are.
Any other questions on the package? The next package is package 118. Again, these are federal funds, and these funds would support school district programs that connect student academic lessons to work with an emphasis on technical skills, and it allows the department to carry over federal funds to continue projects that have been initiated in this biennium, and it also adds some data processing support. And what I'm recommending on this package is that you approve it, but you phase in the staff, so that results in a reduction of $4,945 in federal funds and a 0.04 FTE. You can see that adjustment down below in that second box.
Any questions?
The next package, 119, these are additional federal funds from the Improving America's Schools Act, and this would increase assistance to schools in administering this act, and these grants are for technology training and professional development for teachers. And the grants have grown substantially from 1993. In 1993, they had $1.7 million in grants, and now they have more than $12 million annually. And the number of grants has grown as well. In 93, the Office of Curriculum, Instruction, and Field Services administered the Eisenhower Professional Grant, and now they administer not only this grant, but a technology literacy challenge grant, Goals 2000, charter schools, care for education. And in the past, they've simply required that existing staff provide the monitoring and the technical assistance relating to these grants. And the department states that now these duties require more dedicated effort, and it's also impeding the progress of education reform. What I'm recommending for that package is, again, a phase-in, and this would result in a reduction of $35,063 federal funds and a 0.34 FTE reduction.
Any questions?
The next package would add special education staffing. The total is $1,499,270. Dollars and would add three staff, and again, this is to provide assistance to schools and to help support participation of students with disabilities in school improvement and statewide assessments, as well as address alternative dispute resolution issues. And two additional education program specialists and one support staff will provide technical assistance and arrange contracted services for teacher training and work with schools on implementation of the revised Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. And I would just point out to you that districts have been asking for more assistance in this area, and this package addresses those concerns. I would recommend that you approve, again, a reduction for phasing in the staff, and this would result in a $27,401 decrease and a decrease in FTE of 0.25. The next package is for pupil transportation and background checks. Again, this would add staff to this area and allow additional staff to do bus inspections, safety training, and background checks with school district classified employees, as well as volunteers and private school staff. And by adding the pupil transportation staff, it would bring the staffing back up to the 1993 level. So they've been lacking in staff in that area. And the additional office specialist would replace the current use of temporary staff for background checks. And what is not known is the ongoing need for temporary services. So what I've done here is not adjusted the budget. I haven't assumed that the temporary services money that they're using now could cover the staff. What I'm assuming is that they're going to continue to need some of those temporary services, but I'm recommending that you request the Department of Administrative Services to unschedule $32,000 of the limitation until we have a better idea of just how much in temporary services is needed. Okay. And 123, package 123, you might recall from your work on the grant and aid budget that this is a transfer from the department's grant and aid budget to department operations. And what it does, it allows the school district to contract with schools rather than give grants to schools, and the department believes that they would have more control over the outcome under a contractual relationship rather than a grantor-grantee relationship. It would also add one administrative specialist to provide support, and the legislative fiscal office recommends approval of that package. I'm also recommending might point out a phase-in of that administrative specialist, so that would reduce general funds by $6,184 and a 0.08 FTE. And the next package is package 124. That's for school nutrition monitoring expansion, and it would help the department ensure compliance with federal law. And it would allow the department not only to review the many nutrition programs provided through federal funding, but also to provide nutrition education in schools. And currently, staff are not able to keep up with reviews of all the programs. I understand the special milk program is not currently monitored. And there are also some private agencies that are now coming on board in terms of administering these programs, and they also need to be reviewed. So this package would add $236,922 in federal funds and two FTE, and I'm recommending approval of that package. And finally, the next one is package 125. And what this package would do is allow the department to use current funds to, instead of paying for contractors for the assessment system, they would hire staff. And according to the department, they believe this would allow them more control over the process and also some flexibility continuing the assessment program. And the package in the nine staff that you see added there, the package would include, does include, re-education program specialists, some support staff, and a manager, and two information system specialists. So the department would be using roughly $887,000 of professional services, for personal services for staff. And I'm recommending approval of that package. And finally, package 126 is simply for adjusting the budget for limitation, federal expenditure limitation granted by the emergency boards in September 1998 for various federal grants, either mostly special education grants and other. And I'm recommending approval of that package. That completes all the packages, but we do have some other adjustments and technical adjustments.
Any questions on the packages?
I'm going to direct you back up to, in the second box, the third line down where it says reduced attorney general fees. And that's simply a result of the public safety subcommittee reducing the attorney general hourly rate from $92 to $90. This is the impact on the department's budget. Then down in the second box again, below the line for policy option package 123, that last policy option package listed there in that box, you'll see a line for reducing the base rate. Again, this is to meet the department's 4% efficiency reduction, and basically what this is targeted for is funds that were granted during the interim by the emergency board for a communications project. It does leave about $200,000 in the base budget for additional communications projects for the department. Again, I would point out, if you do approve the $1 million in the emergency fund for the assessment system, then the department decides that a communication project is done, and they And then below that, you'll see a line for technical adjustments. And this is a combination of about three different adjustments. And I would direct your attention to page 2. A little more than halfway down, you'll see a section entitled technical adjustments. And you'll see one of those adjustments is for PERS increases. Another adjustment is to add $72,582 general fund and increase federal funds and other funds expenditure limitation by $25,796 and $15,950 respectively for reclassification of positions where staff are currently working out of class and will continue to work out of class due to the needs of the department. And the department is proposing to pay for a portion of the general fund amount with a reversion of current biennium funds from the database project. They're estimating that they can revert about 100,000 to the general fund, and so 50,000 of that would be used to cover a portion of the general fund need for this package. I'm also recommending that you request that the Department of Administrative Services unschedule the appropriation and the limitation until the Department of Administrative Services and the Legislative Fiscal Office deeply reviews those supporting documentation for the request and agree on the appropriateness of the reclassification. And then the last portion of that technical adjustment goal is to increase the department's other funds expenditure limitation by $132,100 for expenditure of the anticipated fee revenues for career schools, the increase in fee revenues. And as you might recall, you approved Senate Bill 365, which allows for those increases in fee revenues. I'm recommending that the department, that you request the Department of Administrative Services to unschedule that amount of bill is signed into law by the governor. And finally, the last item is to transfer federal funding from operations to grant aid. And you did a similar offsetting adjustment when you worked the grant aid budget, and that's simply because during the interim there was an error in putting some funding in operations when it actually should have been in grant aid for this scheme set up. So that brings you to a general fund budget recommended by LFO of $36,702,186. Other funds, $8,087,456. Federal funds of $30,404,748. Non-limited funds of $4,471,781, for a total of $79,666,761. 254 positions and 248.78 FTE. Now I would just draw your attention to the back of page 2 because there are a couple budget notes you still need to discuss. And I'd like to go over the percentage increases that you see below that. Budget note number 4 is a request from a member that you adopt a budget note requiring the Department of Education to report to the 1990-901 Interim Legislative Committee on Education on the number of schools using the Eddie Eagle STEM Safety Program. And the report should individually identify the schools as either high school, elementary, or middle. And if the data is available from schools, the report should include the cost to schools to implement the program in 97-99 and also projected cost in 99-01. And then finally, the last budget note is a budget note that would direct the department to provide a written update to the Legislative Fiscal Office and the Department of Administrative Services on the department's progress in implementing the recommendations contained in that April 1997 study that I mentioned before by Management Analysis and Planning Associates. There are a number of recommendations in that report, and I believe that there should be some follow-up to those recommendations. Finally, I would direct your attention then to the percentages that you see there. The LFO recommended budget is a 24.7% increase over the 97-99 legislatively approved budget, and that includes a 28.8% increase in general fund. You see below that the LFO recommended budget is a overall 12.2% decrease from the governor's recommended budget, a 21.5% decrease in federal funds from the governor's budget. Now, if you assume that the department will be given the funds that have been recommended to be appropriated to the emergency board, then the LFO recommended budget is a 26.9% increase over the 97-99 LAB, and that includes a 33.8% increase in general funds. From the governor's recommended budget, it's a 10.6% decrease overall and a decrease of 18.5% in general funds.
Any questions? Madam Chair, could you say more about Budget Note Number 5 and why the report is directed just to gas and
Senator Gordley, in my discussions with the department, we came to the conclusion that it would be most expedient. By that, I mean there are many, many recommendations in that report, and it just seemed to be the most efficient way to handle that, just to have them provide us a written update versus having them appear before a committee. Certainly, if you're interested in having them do that, we can amend the budget note so that they appear, say, before the interim legislative committee on education.
I'm not recalling the study. The study was disseminated to whom?
Madam Chair and Senator Gordley, I'm not sure because I wasn't involved in this area when the study was distributed. I believe at least the education subcommittee of Ways and Means received a copy of the report. I'm not sure of others who may have received a copy. If you know.
Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, if the report was released 2 years ago during the legislative session and there were several committee meetings held on the topic of the report with the contractor, the auditor, providing a rather detailed explanation of the results, it was presented to the Senate Education and House Education Committees, the Education Subcommittee of Ways and Means, plus discussion for the Speakers Council on Education, not recalling the exact name, but it had widespread dissemination at that time.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to make a comment in regards to the Emergency Board allocations that were made in the 97-99 and the $5 million. And it seems to me, I've been on the Emergency Board now for 3 sessions, I guess, or 6 years, that a lot of things happen in the interim. When you look at the budget, it's not open. When you get into the emergency situation, and if the money's available and those type of things, look at the database. We put the $3 million in the database in the interim. We didn't put it in the last session. And I think you have to look at that in these budgets. It just is over when you think it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Madam Chair. I have, I guess, a little bit of concern or just interest in changing budget number 4, which happens to be about Eddie Eagle. I understand there are other gun safety programs out there, and would suggest that we have the language right be written in a way that incorporates, in addition to the Eddie Eagle gun safety program, that we collect information about the other programs that the district offers. May have some specific, and I just wrote this up, I don't know if I have authorship, but after the first sentence, or including that first sentence, on the education of the number of schools using the Eddie Eagle Gun Safety Program or any other gun safety program, and then in the third sentence, which agreed, the report shall also include data, if available, on cost of schools to implement their gun safety program in 1997-99 and protection costs for 99-01. Now I'm suggesting is, I remember the debate on the floor was, City Eagle isn't the only program, it may be a valid program, and that's we've made a policy choice to say that that's a good one, but my understanding is there are other gun safety programs out there, and I think it'd be useful for all of us to know. In addition to that, what is it costing to run these in the school?
Madam Chair.
Yes,
Senator. Well, I would recommend we go one step further and delete the Eagle and simply asked a question, how many gun safety programs are there?
Madam Chair, is there a request from a member that should be on the Eddie Eagle Gun Safety Program? I think you could ask for any other gun safety program, and when the department does its survey, perhaps it could add a line asking what particular program it uses, and that way we could make sure we capture the information.
If we ask for information on gun safety programs, that would include programs like the Eddie Eagle program, or the man. I don't see why we should politically charge the Department of Education budget with a gun debate.
Madam Chair, not to muddy the waters, but I do have a question for the department. Does the department produce a report that details violence prevention programs existing in various districts around the state? I don't see anyone moving forward, so we don't do that yet. I would suggest there's a broader issue, and it is violence prevention, it's conflict resolution, and that the Eddie Eagle or gun piece is just a part of that. Right. And so if we're going to ask the question, let's ask the broader question and get the big picture.
That's a good point.
And then I would also ask, does the department have the staff and the dollars to take on the task that we're asking them to take on through the budget
now?
We'll bring back the budget on that issue. Have some discussion on it. Any further discussion that we have on this budget, part of the operations budget? I have a motion on this part of the package, on this part of the budget.
Which part is that? The
operation.
The operation.
Thank you, Representative. Tanya, Representative Winters, moves to Department Operations budget as recommended by OLSO. Discussion.
I'm going to be opposed to this budget right now. I think there's still some things that aren't included in here which are going to be part of the budget negotiation. In fact, staff covered some of those about a distressed school fund or something along those lines, the issue of what we're going to do with bonds. I think there still needs to be some further discussion about the assessment centers. That's a pretty international spike. We've eliminated them. I'd still personally have some trouble with them, but I also suggest that we should have that discussion at the budget table. I was, even though it's a small amount of money, I think the budget model by cutting that out, taking out, now granted there may be some flexibility through the e-board, but I think we need to make a statement here today that that's an important piece to the database. Otherwise, we're just collecting data, in my mind, for no purpose yet. And I think that will help us budget for the next time. Back to your next question. So for those reasons, for now, I'm going to be a no today.
The next question,
Madam Chair.
Senator Gordon.
I won't repeat my earlier statements about the assessment centers and our failure to adequately fund the assessment centers, but that is the reason I'll be objecting for voting no. And also, just want to say again that I do believe that our failure to fund the assessment centers is the fatal flaw in this budget. Again, we're talking about a large population of students who are going to need help meeting the standards. And we should be asking ourselves the question, are we doing everything within our power to put in place those supports that will help those students achieve? And I don't believe that we're doing that with this budget.
Madam Chair, first I have a question on the reduction. I apologize, I missed the discussion earlier, but as I understand, the department has come in with a recommendation for package 103, the assessment centers of $6 million as opposed to $8 million. We are, via the emergency board, going to appropriate $1 million for the purpose of funding assessment centers, which means we are $5 million apart from the department as opposed to $7 million. And it just seems to me that the importance of, and I won't repeat what I'm sure Senator Gordley has already, but the importance of that policy package, it just seems to me we can find $5 million more to fund that. And I unfortunately, I will also not be able to support the budget because of that reduction.
Well, with the objections of Representative Leonard, Representative Edwards, and Senator Gordon, let's take a roll. Let's do a roll call.
Aye. Aye.
No.
Aye.
No.
No.
Aye.
Yes.
Let's just hold this over till Tuesday.